Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, a production of iHeartRadio. Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, a production of iHeartRadio.
Should I do it in an English accent since we're doing the Open Championship?
I think that makes sense.
Three, two, one. Hey, welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, Saturday Strong Edition. Steve Johnson here, continuing my streak with the great predictions along with Minnesota Tim Parachka. He jumped on the bandwagon, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But first of all, how upset do you think Hank is right now? Do you think he's upset?
Why would Hank be upset?
You know why he's upset. On Wednesday of the Hank Haney Podcast, we were talking about Royal St. George's. We're talking about the Open Championship. And Hank said, it's not an Open Championship unless it's raining sideways. The weather is absolutely terrible. And it's a battle of attrition. Attrition means, you know, you guys are going to fall by the wayside. It's the toughest of the tough are the guys that, and also the most skillful. Those are the guys that are at the top of the leaderboard at the end of the day on the Open Championship. Well, I tuned in this morning, Tim. We're taping this podcast that's going to air sometime Friday afternoon. Saturday strong, for sure. But I'm watching the Open Championship right now, and it looks like it's they're down in Florida is what it looks like. It's beautiful. It looks like Palm Springs with an ocean next to it.
Yeah, the weather has been nice. Yesterday afternoon, it did get really windy, and the players in the afternoon were struggling to get under par. Rory McIlroy was really struggling in the wind. Phil Mickelson was really struggling in the wind. There were some big names yesterday that could not handle the afternoon conditions because there were some holes where the wind was blowing straight at the players. On the par five, it was on the front nine. I think it was hole number seven. And the players could not get there in two. And how unusual is it these days for players not to be able to get to a green in two on a par five?
That is very unusual. Very unusual. Now, they said that the difference, and you talked about the differences in the morning and the afternoon. They've got 156 players in this championship. All of them are teeing off a hole number one. It's a long time for the first tee is tied up for a long time. It was about a 2-shot difference between the morning rounds and the afternoon rounds yesterday, which is significant. I mean, you look at 4 rounds, that's 8 shots. That's a big deal. But then you see some guys that, I mean, these guys are pros. And I got to go right to them. It's Phil Mickelson. What did he shoot yesterday? He shot 80 yesterday. And now he's 2 over through 8 holes today. He's the guy. He's our champion. Was it PGA? Did he win? What did he win? The PGA?
The PGA. Phil Mickelson's PGA Championship win was the most unusual of wins. Unusual is the word of the day, I guess.
Unusual.
Phil Mickelson. Unusual. Yeah.
So it's not usual. It's unusual.
Unusual. I don't know how Phil Mickelson won that PGA Championship. It was just unreal that his driver stayed on this planet.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. However, when we look at this week and we see that he's 12 over, he's played 9 holes, he's 2 over for the front nine, is it because the course is so much tougher? Is it because that he's so tired? Is it because he doesn't have the game to play over there, overseas? What do you think it is?
I just think he's getting old and he doesn't have the game anymore. That's why the PGA Championship was so crazy. This is what he's been doing all year, Steve. It's not like this type of performance is unusual for Phil Mickelson. This is what he's been doing all year. The PGA Championship win was unusual for Phil Mickelson.
You know what I'm seeing here, Tim? I'm not thinking it's the golf course. I'm not thinking it's the conditions. I'm not thinking it's the bad food. I'm not thinking it's the quarantine. What I'm thinking is that Phil Mickelson, at his age of, 53 years old?
51.
I think he's got some cashing it in and give ups. I think he's got the give ups. He knows it's not his week. So instead of just getting it out and trying to make something out of nothing, he's just letting it full form, just, you know, not paying any attention at all. And just, he could shoot. I'm saying today he will not shoot any nine holes under par. He's already had three 9-hole scores that are over par. It would say something if he could get it out. I mean, a lot of guys have played well in this back nine. The conditions are perfect. Now the pin placements are a little bit tough. That's very typical of a RNA, Royal and Ancient, Martin Slumbers, set up golf course. I mean, Hank would always tell me that, hey, anything goes in the Open Championship. They'll stick that pin anywhere. They'll stick it on a mound. They'll stick it on the side of a mound. They'll stick it right next to the edge of the green. Anything goes there. And we see that when we're watching it on TV. Have you seen some of the pin placements?
I have seen some of the pin placements. Did you watch some of the first round, Steve?
I did.
Yeah. What did you think of the golf course, the way the players played? Jordan Spieth played really early. I don't know if you saw his round at all in the morning. What did you think of the way he played?
Well, I mean, you know, if you can find your driver, if you hit your driver and find it, the golf course, although it's not playing as firm and fast as we've seen other conditions in the Open Championship, you do get some rollout and you got to control your ball off the tee. I mean, Jordan Spieth's round, this is not sugar-coated. I mean, he's made a lot of putts. I'm not sure how many feet and putts he made, but he went through a stretch on that back nine where he was just bombing them in. And I don't know if that's a winning formula. He's got to get the ball striking a little bit. He's got to tighten that up a little bit. But he's a guy, like we talked about on Wednesday, he's a guy that rises to the occasion no matter how he's playing. We saw it over the last 2.5 years, 3 years, that he plays like, he can barely find his ball. He's missing cuts. He goes to a major, and all of a sudden, he's contending. I would love to see him finish this off, especially with, you know, we had this conversation a while ago about him, between him and Justin Thomas, who's going to win more majors. Well, I mean, we all voted for Justin Thomas. We all said, hey, back 2 years ago, we said, hey, you know, Jordan Spieth, his day has come and gone. Justin Thomas is on the rise, but it's switched up again. So, I mean, just hang on. It's just like the Texas weather. If you don't like it, wait a little bit. It's going to change.
Yeah. Speaking of guys that can't make putts, Rory McIlroy in the first round could not make a putt. He opened with a birdie on his opening hole, and everyone was excited. Everyone was talking about Rory McIlroy coming out of the floodgates and coming out of nowhere to win this Open Championship. And since that opening birdie, he was missing short par putts. He was missing short birdie putts. For a guy that grew up around this area, Rory McIlroy, he does have some good finishes in the past, but he seems to struggle here. Last year, or 2 years ago, when it was in his hometown of, where was that, Royal Portrush in Scotland, he missed the cut.
Yeah.
And now he's on the verge of missing the cut again.
Yeah. Well, they say that right now, as we speak, the projected cut is +1. It'll go up as the day goes on. They say it could be as much as +3. We've got some guys that are close, right? They can see that cut line. John Rahm is +1. Lee Westwood +1. Bryson DeChambeau +1. Your favorite, Darren Clark, is +1. Rory's +1. He's one over for the day. He's through 6 holes right now. But there are a lot of players that, I mean, they've got to tough it out in order to make the weekend.
Yeah. One of my favorite players right now is 9 under par and has the lead, Colin Morikawa, in round two. He survived round one, got the favorable conditions in round two, and is 6 under par through, what was it, 16 holes this morning at, he's on the 16th hole right now. He's on a par three. He just hit a shot on TV here.
Did he bogey a hole? Because he was...
Yeah, he just bogeyed one. He just bogeyed number 15. He missed a short par.
Oh, that's too bad. That's
so we need to get into him. We need to get into Bryson DeChambeau versus Cobra. Did you see that, Steve?
I did see that. Unfortunate. Very unfortunate.
Yeah, we need to get into that too. But let's talk about Colin Morikawa next. I need to ask you a specific question about his putting and the Open Championship. So we're going to get into that next. Everyone go to HaneyUniversity.com to improve your putting and improve your golf game. If it's short game, distance shots, putting, there are tips on Haney University that will help you. You sign up for the newsletter and instructional tips will come straight to your inbox daily. Go to Haney University and sign up today.
Welcome back to the Hank Haney Podcast, Saturday Strong Edition. Steve Johnson here along with Minnesota Tim Prochka. Tim, we're talking Open Championship. Well, what else would you talk about, Tim? That's the only thing that's going on right now. Would you talk about, now there is a tournament in the United States. Can you tell me where that tournament is?
It is in Kentucky.
And what's it called?
The Barbasol Championship.
That's true. I would have bet you wouldn't have known that. You know who's winning?
Ooh, I did see the leaderboard yesterday. JT Poston is near the lead. I want to say it's like Martin Laird or something.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's no one's paying attention to that. Everyone was paying attention to the Open Championship. So let's talk about Colin Morikawa. He is a product of my alma mater, University of California, Berkeley. Back when I went there, back in the day, they had just brought the program back into the Division One men's program. It was believe it or not, a school like that, their men's golf program, they discontinued it, and it was a club sport for a while. And they brought it back when I went to school there. They brought it back into the NCAA Division One category, and we had a pretty mediocre team, good students, but none of the guys wanted to be pros. And then after I left, you know, you see 10, 12 years later, you got a lot of guys coming out of the University of California, Berkeley, mostly Asian players, Ben Ahn, Colin Morikawa, who else, University of California? Oh, Max Homa, your man, UCal man. But what were your questions about Colin Morikawa or observations, Tim?
Yeah, so obviously, he's putting well enough to be in first place early on in the second round. Well, his second round is almost over. And his putting statistics on the PGA Tour, I'm pretty sure he's ranked around 172nd or so. And with the slower greens in the Open Championship, does that even out the putting field a little bit? Do slower greens help putters like Colin Morikawa adapt better? Like if they had faster greens, would that widen the gap between Morikawa and, let's say, Jordan Spieth? Does it even out the field a little bit more?
You know, I listen to the commentators, and I have a hard time understanding what a lot of these foreign commentators are saying. But one of the things they do say is that their observations are a lot of the players that play on the PGA Tour full-time are leaving a lot of putts short. Greens like Royal St. George's that have slopes and bumps and depressions and all that, you've got to match the break that you see along with the speed that you're hitting the ball.
Well, that's anywhere.
Yeah, but the speed is a little bit slower. Although the weather's nice, they've got to be prepared for terrible weather. If they let those greens get too fast, like they do at Augusta or like they do at the U.S. Open, Tim, and the wind comes up and the storm blows up like just like we know it can there, the course becomes unplayable and they don't want to look like idiots. So they say the greens are rolling at about 11. However, I think they're a little bit slower than that. You see a lot of the guys leaving the putt short. And some players, I don't know if it's a product of what they grew up on, but they can match Jordan Spieth, Colin Morikawa. They're able to match the line and the speed together, those particular greens, unlike the other guys. I wish they had more putting stats that we could see because we would see just domination on both of their parts.
Yeah. Do you find that slower greens help worse putters?
Not necessarily. Not necessarily, because you still got to hit the putt on the line that you see. So reading the break and evaluating the slopes and all that stuff, that's something that all those guys do well. I just got to say, man, I don't know if it's going to hold up. I don't know if their putting is going to hold up. I mean, statistically speaking, once you get outside of 10 feet, your percentage of makes goes down about 30% for every 5 feet you go back. So you go back to 20 feet, it goes from 60% to like 30%. And then you keep going back, and it gets less and less of an opportunity. They show it on the PGA Tour. It's, oh, there's a 30-foot putt. He converts on, 4% of these. So the likelihood that someone's going to make them from distances is they may make some, but over the long run, and I'm not sure that the Open Championship is the long run, but over the long run, it does even out, and they are going to make about 4% of those putts.
Colin Morikawa is a big-time player. He did win his first PGA Championship. This is his first Open Championship. This is his first time going over to Scotland or England or wherever they played the Open Championship. And for him to be up this early, this big this early, really shows just how good of a player he is. His ball striking is number one on the PGA Tour. And I love Colin Morikawa's game. If he was a good putter, and I know that's a huge if this, if that. But if he was just a decent putter, he would easily be the best player in the world.
Really?
Yes. His ball striking is just absurd.
Wow. Even better than Brooks Koepka.
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
Koepka hasn't won this year, Steve.
No, I know it. I know it. I still think he's injured. I didn't even see him on the leaderboard. What's up with him?
I think he's minus one.
Not bad. Not bad. He must tee off this afternoon. A couple guys are lighting it up. Tony Finau, one of your favorites. He was lighting it up, and then he missed a little short putt again. Kind of, he's four under.
Anytime he misses a short putt, the announcers go back to the same thing. Man, this guy is so close, but if he only could figure out the putter.
Yeah.
It's rinse and repeat for Tony Finau.
Yeah, I don't think. And you know what? We talked about Justin Rose the other day, too. And, we hadn't seen him. Hadn't seen him on the leaderboard. And all of a sudden, he's three under. He tees off this afternoon, which would be Friday afternoon. You know what? Some guys just really can rise to the occasion in some of these courses that maybe it looks good to their eye. I mean, most of the people that talk about this golf course, they don't really like it. They don't like the look of it, the blind shots, I don't know all the specifics, but you haven't heard a lot of praises of this golf course yet, have you?
No, you haven't.
No. I mean, I think, you know what? I think Bryson DeChambeau likes it.
Let's get into that next. Let's take our second break. Bryson DeChambeau versus Cobra. He criticizes his manufacturer. Can't wait to hear the great predictor's thoughts on that situation. Go to voodoopainrelief.com right now for a free 2-week supply of Voodoo Pain Relief Cream. This product is patented, and this product will take care of your aches and pains. Voodoopainrelief.com. We'll be right back.
Did you know our meeting's being recorded right now?
That's what it says.
Okay. All right, well, welcome back to the Hank Haney Podcast, Saturday Strong Edition, the weekend of the Open Championship. And a little fireworks this early in the week, Thursday to be exact, Timmy. And I'm talking about the Bryson DeChambeau, who was one of the favorites coming in. I mean, he felt good about his game, felt like he was ready. And tall grasses. He had to hit his driver. He talked about it early in the week. Got to hit the driver in the fairway. And he's unable to hit the driver in the fairway. And he realizes why he's not hitting the driver in the fairway.
Yeah.
It's not his swing. It's not his coach's fault. It's not his caddy's fault. It's not his fault, for sure. You know whose fault is it? It is. It's Cobra's fault.
Oh, absolutely.
The driver company. Well, I saw on social media yesterday when the interview was dropped over there and overseas, that a lot of people started making comments on it. What in the world is he talking about? What is he? He's blaming his bad play on. He says his driver sucks. That he's been trying to tinker with the engineers to get this driver in a certain certain makeup that he won't hit bad shots. And what do you think about his, first of all, what were his comments?
He says his driver sucks.
So, I mean, sometimes guys say that and they're talking about themselves. Hey, my driver sucks. Mm-hmm. I can't hit. You think he was talking about that?
Yes, I think he's talking about specifically his driver, because he's talking about tinkering around with his driver, talking about hitting it on the razor's edge. And he was just talking about the function of the driver that he has, and he doesn't like it.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, we're always looking here. We're not looking for problems. We're looking for solutions. What do you think he does here? How do you think he solves this problem?
Well, as soon as he made the comments, I said, I can't wait until Bryson DeChambeau goes on his apology tour. And of course, a few hours later, Bryson DeChambeau he didn't say sorry, but he said he submitted words of regret after his round.
Okay, so what do you have that with you or no?
Yeah, I got it right
here.
Okay,
let's hear it.
Okay, so Bryson DeChambeau says, the comment I made in my post-round interview today was very unprofessional. My frustrations and emotions over the way I drove the ball today boiled over. I sucked today, not my equipment. Cobra and I have worked together for over 5 years, and they are some of the hardest working people in golf industry and make an incredible product. Their team is like family to me, especially Ben Showman, who has been there for me every step of the way since I started my career. I deeply regret the words I used earlier. I am relentless in the pursuit of improvement and perfection. Part of that causes me to become outwardly frustrated at times. With the new speeds I am attaining, my game is a constant work in progress, and so is controlling my emotions. And did you see the Golf Week article, Steve?
No, what did it say?
It was Ben Showman, the Cobra guy, fired back at Bryson DeChambeau.
Oh, what did he say?
He goes, everybody is bending over backwards. We've got multiple guys in R&D who are cating this and cating that, trying to get this and that into the pipeline faster, and Bryson knows it. It's just really, really painful when he says something that stupid. He has never really been happy ever. Like, it's very rare where he's happy. Now he's in a place where he's swinging a 5-degree driver with 200 RPM of ball speed. Everybody's looking for a magic bullet. Well, the magic bullet becomes harder and harder to find the faster you swing, and the lower your loft gets.
So, wow. Ben Showman, this is the guy that stepped in and caddied for Bryson DeChambeau when Tim Tucker stepped out at the last minute. So this guy is really part of his team. Do you think that this is the start of the disintegration of Team Bryson DeChambeau?
Man, it kind of looks like it, doesn't it? I just think Bryson's very socially unaware. You cannot make those comments in front of the press. You can make those comments behind closed doors. You know, vent to your caddy, vent to your agent, vent to Cobra even. But to publicize those comments in an era where manufacturing is so important, where there are so many different kinds of manufacturers, Steve. You got Cobra, you got TaylorMade, you've got Callaway, you got Titleist, Mizuno, Ping.
Yeah.
I mean, there are so many different kinds of manufacturers, Steve. And for one of the best players in the world to come out and say your driver sucks is a huge shot to the brand. Bryson is just so socially unaware, and it's really shows on the PGA Tour. Brooks Koepka doesn't like Bryson, obviously. But it's not just Brooks Koepka that doesn't like Bryson. I believe Brooks Koepka is speaking for the masses on the PGA Tour, but Brooks Koepka is the only one that has the kahunas to speak out about it.
You're probably right in that respect. You know, he is the Bryson DeChambeau I'm referring to is a guy that is out there on his own. He's out there on his own planet, that's for sure. I don't see. The people that he hangs out with are the people on his team. Although you see a lot of the guys, and we've joked about this before, the guys, the spring breakers, the Justin Thomas, the Jordan Spieth, the Ricky Fowlers, the Smiley Kaufmans, guys that grew up in golf together and that are really, truly friends. Bryson DeChambeau is the biggest parallel I could have to Bryson DeChambeau is Patrick Reed.
Yeah,
Patrick Reed and Bryson DeChambeau are almost exactly the same in terms of you're always going to hear something from them, and it's going to be kind of ridiculous. you want to hear what they have to say because you're thinking, God, how the heck did he come up with that? The denial, the shifting back and forth and, you know, saying one thing, oh, I really didn't mean that. I meant it was me that was bad, not the club. And, you know, it just reminds me, these are two guys that are not going to endear themselves to a lot of players. That's for sure. They may have their fans. They're fans that watch them play and are in awe of what he can do. But I go back to this, Tim. You are who you hang out with. And look who he's hanging. I mean, all these guys are out of the same mold that Bryson DeChambeau. They're kind of out there a little bit. They're think of themselves as pioneers. Think of themselves as ahead of the curve. Think of themselves as somebody that is going to make or potentially make their mark on this game. You look at Chris Como. You look at, I don't know much about Tim Tucker, but I was going to interview Bryson DeChambeau when he came out on the tour, and his coach gave me his number. And he says, you know, when you call him, he's not going to call you back. And I said, well, I'll give it a try. And sure enough, he didn't never call back. He marches to the beat of his own drummer. That's for sure.
If you were a Cobra right now, Steve, how would you feel? Or what would you do? Would you take him off of Cobra?
You know, I really don't see the benefit to having a guy like Bryson DeChambeau on a club staff. Here's why. I mean, I own a driving range. I see hundreds of people, thousands of people a week come out. Hundreds of thousands of people come out every year. And I see very few Cobra sets, very few. It was kind of like when Nike had their clubs out. I mean, I would never see any. No one would ever buy Nikes. I don't see a lot of people buying the Cobras. I'm not sure what kind of business they do. I'm just giving you my observations from people that actually come out to the driving range and are hitting balls, serious practicers, that I don't see them using the Cobra equipment. So why use a guy like Bryson DeChambeau?
Yeah, it seems like Callaway, Titleist, TaylorMade, they're definitely the leaders.
What?
I said it seems like Callaway, Titleist, and TaylorMade, they're definitely the leaders in the manufacturing department.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. TaylorMade's up there, Ping's up there. I mean, Cobra is a fringe. It's a fringe company. And I'm not sure. I mean, let's look up Cobra here, Tim. And let's see what they, I'm sure they have other products. Like Callaway has, you know, Travis Matthews, they have OGO bags. When I punch in Cobra Golf into my computer here, which I'm doing right now, and I punch it up there. This is the official site of Cobra, and the leading page is the high-tech hybrid. The King Tech Hybrid is what they're advertising. That's their big club that they want to get out there. I don't see any Bryson DeChambeau anywhere.
I can't hear you. I can barely hear you. It's like you're in a closet right now.
Really?
Now there you go. Now you're back.
I'm here, Tim. I'm not in the closet.
Whoa, you're back.
The King Cobra, I've never seen any of these clubs on my driving range. Never. They've got some putters. They look a lot like the TaylorMade putters. A little copycat here. The thing that I find that unusual is that the coloring that they have are very similar to the Callaway colors. You know, kind of that lime green type deal. I see no Bryson DeChambeau anywhere in this Cobra, on the Cobra homepage. Now, they are Puma Golf as well. Now, that's Ricky Fowler, Puma Golf. Now, I do see Ricky, Bryson, Gary Woodland, and Emmy, whoever that is. Emmy, I'm not sure who that guy is. Emmy? Who's Emmy?
I don't know. I think it really points to the character of Bryson DeChambeau, and it really explains why Tim Tucker would quit. This is just things Bryson DeChambeau is saying publicly. Think about how difficult he is to work on and work with behind the scenes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, guys like that, it's typically, you've got to listen to them. Now, there's a lot of players that are that think they know a lot. And I think Bryson DeChambeau is very confident in his knowledge. Phil Mickelson is very confident in his knowledge. Phil Mickelson just shot 80 in the first round. You don't hear him criticizing his clubs. He's taking responsibility. And I just think Bryson DeChambeau has a lot of growing up to do, and he'll learn from it. He's a smart guy. But unfortunate that, that Cobra had to take the hit on this. And, I'm thinking about making some t-shirts. Cobra drivers suck. Quote, Bryson DeChambeau.
There was a funny video on social media surfacing yesterday. There was it was by the Deep Fried Egg Twitter account. I forget who runs that. And he took this Cobra commercial of Ricky Fowler and then a couple of other golfers. And then at the end, it's Bryson DeChambeau. And they're all supposed to be saying, beat that, after they hit the Cobra driver. And someone substituted, this driver sucks, at the end for Bryson DeChambeau. It was the funniest thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he wishes he could take it back. He's got a lot of repairing of relationships to do, but you know what, that's going to happen. People make mistakes. What I'm interested in is what's going to happen. What do you think? My pick was Jordan Spieth on Wednesday. Do you think Jordan Spieth has a chance to win this tournament?
Absolutely.
What do you look for in his second round here, Tim? I mean, he's teeing off in the afternoon. It's a long day out there for sure.
Survive and advance to round three. If Jordan Spieth can get to 7-under par going into round three, and let's say Colin Morikawa is the leader at the end of round two, then that's a good spot for Jordan Spieth to be in.
There are guys that are playing well today, but you know, there's this big difference between morning and afternoon rounds. The winds are very benign, just a little breeze. Guys are not wearing sweaters and rain suits and all that. I mean, it looks like a Palm Springs day in the winter. And, yeah. It looks very nice.
I was just going to ask, what are your closing thoughts on the Open?
I like watching early in the morning.
And what's around your neck? What's around your neck, by the way?
What's around my neck?
Yeah.
Glasses.
Oh, it looks like a sign. I see the rope around your neck, and then I see like this square on your chest, and it looks like it's a sign or something.
Yeah, it's not a sign. It's glasses. They're glasses right here.
Tim. Oh yeah, nice.
Why do you get distracted?
Anyway, continue.
Here's what I'm looking for in the Open Championship. I'm looking for I'm not sure who it's going to be, but the wheels are going to fall off. Tony Finau maybe. Louis Oosthuizen. Good player. I think he's got a little baggage from the U.S. Open, the Torrey Pines. Remember that when he knocked it in the canyon? he's got some issues.
It's not the final round yet.
No, but it'll start sinking in, and it may take the final round to get it. But I'm looking for. I would like to see one day of bad weather. To be honest, I'd like to see a day of bad weather. And although if it's bad weather, I hope it's bad weather the whole day. I hope it's not great in the morning, and then in the afternoon it clears up, you know, and wind blowing and sideways rain like Hank likes. I hope it's the whole field gets the benefit of the bad weather the one day.
Yeah. Great thoughts. Everyone, thanks for listening to this episode of the Hank Haney Podcast with the great predictor, Steve Johnson. You can follow him on Twitter. What's that?
I just got to say, man, I got to say that this podcast sucks. This podcast sucks today.
Thanks, Bryson.
I apologize. I apologize to my team. Apologize to you, Tim. And it was not me. It's this microphone. It's the Zoom call. It's everything except me, but I'm just wanting you to know it sucks.
Thanks. Yeah. Well, I'm going to be Ben Showman in this situation. I am working my butt, getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning to prep for this podcast, going out of my way to make sure this podcast has great guests on it, like Smokin' Sally, getting up, staying late, working around the clock to make sure this podcast is great. And it's really, really painful to hear you make comments like that.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Tell them to hit bombs.
Hit bombs, make putts, leave the flag stick in. Everyone have a great day. Enjoy the Open.
Thanks, Timmy.
The Hank Haney Podcast is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.